La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
Welcome to episode 4 of TritonCast, the official podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. Alongside Jeff Toriel, I'm Jenny Stevens. Hey Jeff, who's joining us for today's Triton Spotlight?
Jenny, so glad you asked. Today we're being joined by UC San Diego alumna and Tijuana Cholos goalkeeper Itzel Gonzalez. She'll tell us about how she thought the end of her Triton career would be the end of her soccer journey, but that turned out not to be the case. The start of a new league in Mexico changed all that. Itzel also chats with us about achieving her dream of playing for the Mexico women's national team and why she feels that her engineering background from UC San Diego gives her an edge on the field.
She's got such an interesting journey. You're really in for a treat today. But first, we go around campus. On the newly redesigned UCSDTritons.com, we've launched the Fab 5 series, where scholar athletes choose their 5 favorite photos from their careers and explain why they're special to them. Also, Between Two Zooms Season 2 continues. Make sure to check out our latest episodes with recent graduates Shay Whitcomb, Sri Ganesh Manoharan, and Natalie Sadek. And be sure to read the message on our website from Athletics Director Earl Edwards about the safety and well-being of the Triton Scholar Athletes. Athletics at UC San Diego is, and always will be, about more than games and competition.
Powerful words from Earl, for sure. Now, here's our Triton Spotlight conversation with Tijuana Cholos goalkeeper, Itzel Gonzalez.
So Itzel, tell us, when you were growing up, when did you first start playing soccer?
I first started playing soccer first grade, I remember. Around that time, I'd just go with my cousins during summer breaks, and they would be playing soccer, and I just wanted to play with them. And so they let me play as long as I was playing in the goal, so I wouldn't bother them. Those are my first memories of actually like kicking the ball around. And yeah, in first grade, I joined the soccer team at my elementary school, which was an all boys team, obviously. And since then, I was in that team, that elementary school team, pretty much all the way through.
And so when did you realize that you wanted to play soccer at a competitive level?
I don't think it ever really crossed my mind. I just knew that I wanted to keep playing soccer. So as I was getting older, I think I just kept like moving up in like different levels of soccer, until I realized that, okay, not a lot of people get to, you know, like once I got into college and played college, I think that's when I realized, okay, not a lot of people get to play college soccer. And so that's when it kind of hit me. Yeah, I think I just always wanted to keep playing soccer. I always tried to do everything I could so that I would always have time to go to practices, or I would always have time to go to games, anything. Like my parents were always really big on school first. And for me, that was a big part of it too. But I always had in my mind, okay, I have to do well in school so I can play soccer.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned school is such a big part of it. And obviously when you're a scholar athlete at the college level, those two big things you have to balance together. Why was it that you chose UC San Diego for your academic experience?
I think when I was looking at schools, I wasn't actually sure if I wanted to play soccer in college, because I moved to the U.S. For high school. So I had no idea how the college process, or, you know, getting recruited to go to a college, how it all worked, I had no idea. So I was kind of, you know, like fighting against time, and I was looking at schools that were good academically because I wanted to study some type of engineering. And so UCSD always sticks out when it comes to that. And once I looked into their soccer program, I was like, this is the best of both worlds. I mean, you can't find a better soccer program, at least in like Division II in the country, that's as good as UCSD. I mean, it's now going up to Division I, so even better. But back then it was Division II. And yeah, I think it was just, there was nothing to question about. You know, I was going to get a really good education, and it was also going to be part of a really good soccer team with a really good history. So that was just exciting.
How was that transition from you going from high school to college in terms of both your studies and athletics?
It was hard, definitely. You can ask anyone that that I was in college with that my freshman year was definitely the hardest to adapt, mostly just because, I mean, every person that gets to UCSD comes from different backgrounds. And sadly, we don't all get the same high school education, you know, like I think we all have a lot of potential, but sometimes our high school classes are very different. And so just coming into, you know, those huge lecture halls with people sitting next to you that you just feel like they know a lot more than you do. It was a little bit hard to adapt, but I think I've always been someone that tries their hardest, and that was what got me through my freshman year, because I wasn't only just, you know, getting exposed to like chem classes and engineering classes and writing classes, but I was also practicing every day with girls that, you know, were like 4-year student athletes that I was really impressed by, that I was really motivated by. So I think overall it was just there's a period during my freshman year where it took me a little bit to adapt. But once you get over that hump, you kind of learn your ways. And the best thing about being a student athlete is that you do have a whole support system, which is your whole team, coaches that help you along the way. And they never let you think that you won't be able to get through it.
I mean, the UC San Diego women's soccer team obviously has a very special culture to it. Was it an adjustment for you at all joining the team, or was it what you expected?
I don't think I knew what I was expecting, because like I said, I had very little information about what college soccer was, because I didn't grow up, you know, hearing about it or talking about it. So I don't think I knew what I was expecting, but I was definitely surprised in a good way. The culture, like you said, the relationships that you have on the team were something that helped me through all my years at UCSD. And yeah, it was like, I was also coming off being with the U20s national team for a couple months. So I wasn't really expecting much. Like I was just, it was such a weird time in my life, because I was just kind of going through the motions and things kept happening to me. But I think that just being being part of a community in the way that UCSD soccer is definitely makes you feel more comfortable and lets you relax a little bit and say, like I mentioned earlier, say like, okay, I can do this because people have done it and it's all going to be okay.
Absolutely. You mentioned a little bit earlier about the U20 national team. Can you talk a little bit about how you got involved with that?
Yes. Long story short, when I was in high school, I went to high school in the LA area, Long Beach area. They had the Mexican national team had open tryouts for their U20, U17 women's teams at a college, at Cerritos College, which is in the LA area. And my coach from high school told me to go, me and this other girl, that were on the high school team. He asked us to go and, you know, just try out. So I went, and it turned out that they needed a goalie for the upcoming World Cup, which was the summer of 2012. So the tryouts were, I think it was January of 2012. So this is my senior year. This is at this point, like I didn't know exactly where I was going to go to college yet. I was trying to decide. And when I went to tryouts, it went well. It took a couple months for them to get back to me. But when they did, they said that they wanted me to go down to Mexico City and do like a full tryout with the full team, with the U20 team. And I went. And after that, I think it was 2 weeks being at camp with the U20 team, they told me that I was going to be on the roster for the U20 World Cup, which was happening that summer. So that was all really fast in a short amount of time, because usually the Youth World Cups happen every 2 years. And so it's usually, if you're on the team, you go through the whole process of the 2 years of preparation. For me, it was just a couple of months. I think it was a combination of being at the right place at the right time, and also them needing a goalie, which was lucky for me. And yeah, that's how I started being called up to at that time, the U20 national team. And that kind of pushed me to aim for higher goals, and definitely gave me a lot of motivation going into college right after that World Cup for my freshman year.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously had a very fantastic career at UC San Diego. I mean, that 2016 season really sticks out with perfect conference record. You guys made it to the NCAA third round. What are some of the highlights from you when you look back on your soccer career?
Yeah, definitely that last year was, I mean, it was... When we were going through season, we just kept thinking, like, I still remember, like, we just kept saying, like, all the points, all the points, all the points, like, every practice, every game, it was like, hashtag all the points, like, we need to get all the points through the season, and we did it. And I remember that last conference game against, I think it was LA at LA. We went down 1-0 at halftime, and it was the first time that we were losing at halftime the whole season. And we were in the locker room, and I just remember everyone saying, like, there's no way we're going to lose this game. It's the last one we need to get all the points in conference. And we just kind of went back in with even more energy, and we tied and we won. And I remember that clearly, just because for someone to experience that, I think it's very powerful to know how important it can be, how you view not just a game, but, you know, competition in general. And not a lot of people go through that, or not a lot of people think that it's possible to be that strong, like, mentally. And it's not just like it comes from one day to another. It's definitely the whole culture that the soccer team has had for years. And I think that's what's really important about having that mentality, that it gets you through those hard times. So yeah, I remember that game a lot, obviously losing in the, I think it was the regional finals. That was really sad too, because we thought we could go all the way and win national championship. But it's soccer at the end of the day, you know, you do your best, and sometimes it doesn't work out. But I think the whole season was a really good reward for me personally, because I had gone 3 years without being a starter. And I think just preparing yourself for that long and finally getting the chance to play is in itself a huge reward.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you were a senior leader on that 2016 squad. What was that team dynamic like that year?
We had a couple of fifth years, I remember. So there was a lot of experience on the team. Prior years hadn't been as smooth as they had been in the past. So we had gone through some hard times my sophomore, junior year, as a team in general. So I think we had a lot of experience on the team. And then we also had Mary, we had Katie, I still look at them as a little freshman, obviously now they've graduated, I think. but yeah, we had a lot of really good players on the field, and everyone had the same mentality of going out and trying to win it all. And combined with the experience, I think there was kind of a room for, like, messing around. And also, we were also all very good friends, I think, the majority. And that's rare on a soccer team, I think, to have, or on the team in general, to have everyone get along. It is, it's hard because we're all different types of people. But I think we always had a good dynamic in the locker room. We had a lot of fun and obviously worked really, really hard.
Yeah, for sure. So after your soccer career at UC San Diego came to a close, graduation was approaching. Did you think you were going to play professional soccer after you graduated?
No, I thought I was done. That's why I was so sad when we lost that conference or that regional game, because I thought that was going to be my last game in my soccer career. And I set out to work full time at a construction company as a construction engineer. And while I was there, there had been rumors that there was going to be a professional league in Mexico for women, but it hadn't been formally introduced. And when it finally was, I think that's when I realized, okay, maybe I should give it a go. Like, I had no reason why not to do it. Except maybe, you know, like putting my other career on hold. But I think I didn't think about it too much. I knew that if I went out and tried it out, I would give it my all. And I think I was in a really high point coming off that senior year or fifth year with UCSD that I didn't want it to stop. You know, like I wanted to see how far I could actually go. And yeah, that's literally when the news came out of the league. That's when I first thought, okay, maybe I can be a professional player.
So how was it then that you ended up with your hometown team, the Cholos?
It was mostly just the being close to home that I decided to play for Cholos at first. Growing up in Tijuana and just being involved in soccer in Mexico, I mean, you end up knowing or meeting a lot of people and everyone kind of knows each other. So they invited me. They knew that I played college here in San Diego, and they knew that I had been on the national team for the U20s. And, you know, I had always been still in contact with a lot of people from Tijuana. And so they invited me to go try out, and, you know, that was it. It was pretty simple. Like I said, I didn't think about it much in the moment, because I was just happy to get the opportunity. And at that point, I didn't know how long I was going to be able to play, just because of financially, I didn't know how long I was going to be able to do it for. And I was just trying to, you know, do my best for as long as I could while I was there. And to be part of that now, I mean, now looking back on it, it's been 3 years since the start of that. And to say that I was part of that first team of Cholos in the first season of the Liga MX, I think that's something that's going to stick out to me, you know, for the rest of my life.
Was it challenging for you joining a league that had just started, or was the transition pretty easy?
It has been challenging, yes, for multiple reasons. The culture in Mexico is very different. About women's soccer in general than it is here in the U.S. So I think constantly it's been challenging people's views that we as women can play at a high level and get paid for it. It hasn't been easy, and it's still, you know, the fight that we fight when we're on the field. And also just it was definitely different than college, because even though it is professional, there is still a lot of young girls. So we have girls that are, you know, 15, 16, 17 year olds on the team. And then there's girls like me who are 25, 26, 28 almost. So there's a huge age gap. So it's a lot of different situations that you have to deal with. And also just the structure itself, because even though it is part of all teams are part of a club that has a men's team. So they already have a structure, but it was bringing in a new team and a women's team. The clubs also had to adapt, you know, and learn how it is to manage a women's team. What is the difference? What can we do to make them actually be more professional? And so all of that, it's been a learning experience from both sides, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Did the Tijuana community really jump on board to support you guys very quickly, or how did that work?
That has also been a process. It it's not that they haven't, they've always supported us a lot, but it's just getting the word out at first was slow. Like a lot of people for the first year didn't know that there was a women's team. So I would run into people and I would tell them that I play for Cholos and they'd be like, oh, they have a women's team. I was like, yeah, it's been going on for a year. So a lot of people are still finding out. I think now we're at a point where the league has become a lot more popular. And so a lot more people are aware that there's a women's league, and also a lot more people follow the teams, you know, on social media, stadiums. And in TJ, it is a very special community because it is the only professional team in the city. You know, some cities have multiple teams, in Tijuana, it's just Cholos. And so everyone, if they support soccer and they're from TJ, you know, they support Cholos. Add that to also having a lot of supporters from San Diego. So the community is very special, especially for me being someone that grew up, you know, kind of on both sides of the border. I love that type of community, and I've always felt very close to the people that support us.
We're chatting with Itzel Gonzalez on this episode of Triton Cast. Itzel, when you were first playing for the Cholos, did it ever cross your mind that you could play for the national team someday?
That was my goal from the start. I can say it now proudly because when 3 years ago when the league started, I told myself, if I'm going to do this, my goal is going to be good enough to be on the national team. Part of the reason was because I knew that on a salary from just a club, it wasn't going to be enough to be financially stable for a long time. And being on a national team gives you a little bit of push, a little bit of help on that front. So that was my goal from the start 3 years ago. And it looked like it was really far away when I started. You know, like I hadn't been on the national team for 4 years, 5 years. The last time I was called up for the U20s was in 2013. So it had been a while. I was, you know, I had a long way to go to get to that level because it was now the full national team. You know, you're competing against girls with a lot of experience. And I just kept that in my mind season after season. It took me 2.5 years or 2 years to get called up for the first time. That was January of last year. And I think just having that in my mind for a lot long was what got me to push myself harder and harder every time. I knew that I was getting close, but you know, you always have those doubts of, okay, I've gotten this much better and still hasn't happened. Is it ever going to happen? You know, what am I doing wrong? But I think I knew that I was getting closer every time. And so it was always on my mind.
What was it like for you then when you did find out that you were called up to the national team, since it had been a goal that you were trying to strive for so long?
It was really exciting. It was also kind of scary, as you can imagine. Just, it actually came when I was least expecting it. I had gone through a couple of months of having really good performances, and there had been a couple of camps and I wasn't called. And so I had kind of put it on the back of my mind for a while, like, okay, maybe it doesn't happen and it's fine. I'm gonna still keep working. And then it just came out of nowhere. So I wasn't expecting it, but I knew that, and it was kind of just what I needed in the right moment. You know, people say like things come in their own ways and at their own time. And that's totally true. Like you can't be like, okay, I need this now. Like it's just going to come when it comes and it's going to help you, or at least you're going to be able to see it in the way that is going to help you. And for me, it gave me that extra motivation to know that I was just beginning, because it, like I said, it had been 2.5 years of playing professionally, and now you have another goal, you know, just to get called up was my first one. My second goal was to get called up a second time. And then from there is to get called up, you know, consistently. And I think that just gave me a lot of motivation to know that I still had a long way to go, and then that I could aim for higher things.
So what's the process like after you get called up, do you immediately start training with the national team, or how does that work?
So the national team depends on what tournaments they have. So there's, I mean, the major tournaments is a World Cup, the Olympics, and there's like Pan American Games, there's Central American Games, and obviously, I mean, Olympic qualifiers that just happened. So there's a lot of tournaments in different years. So when you get called up for a camp, they usually last a week or a week and a half. And so you get taken out of your club. Your club lets you go to camp with the national team, and you train with them. Sometimes you have friendlies or sometimes it's just training for a week and a half. And then you go back to your club and you continue playing, you know, your league games, you continue training with your club. And then there's another camp, then you go back with the national team, and you kind of go back and forth between being with your club and being with the national team. And then once you get close to a tournament, so the most important one we had recently was the Olympic qualifiers. And that, for that, we were at camp for a month, and then we had a break for a week, and then we were back at camp for another month and a half. But that's for major tournaments. So it's just, you know, you always have to be ready if you get called up. If you're getting consistently called up, then you always have to, you know, be thinking, okay, I have my duties here at my club, but I also have to be in shape for when they call me up to the national team. So it gets a little tricky sometimes, but it's nonstop.
How was it for you earlier this year? You mentioned that the team took part in the Women's Olympic Qualifying Championship. What was that experience like for you?
It was eye-opening. Definitely. We sadly didn't qualify for the Olympics, but I think it opened up my mind to a lot of things that the team could do better at, and things that I could be personally involved in to get the team to where it needs to be. Like I mentioned earlier, the culture, I think in Mexico, it's something that we've been changing, you know, just pushing women's soccer. You can't just get the national team to be at the top level from one day to another, you know, it has to come from the bottom up. And I think the first place that I could start is getting my club to be better and getting everyone on my team to be better. That gets the league to be better. That gets the players that are the top players from the league to get on the national team, and that makes the national team better. And then from there, you know, you compete internationally. So it was eye-opening, the whole tournament. I mean, it was a huge reward too for me. I did not expect to be that quickly on a roster for that, for a tournament that important, considering that I had only been called up for the national team for a year. So it was a huge reward for me. And I got to play one game, which was also, I think, a very important step in my career. And, you know, sometimes things don't work out, but it doesn't mean that we didn't grow a lot as a team and that we don't have a lot of things. You know, we have a lot of things to look forward to from now on as well.
Was it difficult coming in? I mean, you mentioned that the women are all coming from different clubs. Is it easy to play with other people right away, or does it take some time to kind of grow that friendship among the team?
It takes some time, but also we all kind of know each other, I think, because you always have friends that are on other teams. And so it doesn't seem like you're playing with strangers. It definitely takes some time for everyone to know, you know, your own weaknesses and strengths and how to use that to make the team better. But also as part of being a professional player, you know, you have to adapt quickly. And we all know that national teams are very different than clubs, you know, or college teams because of that, because you have players that come from different teams that have different structures, different style of plays, and it's the coach's job to make them all blend in together. And that in itself is a challenge, but also something that when you see it happen, it's very interesting.
We're chatting with Itzel Gonzalez on this episode of Triton Cast. Itzel, in what ways did UC San Diego prepare you for your professional soccer career?
At UCSD, like I mentioned earlier, I went through a lot of highs and lows, and I think that has helped me be more resilient, to be more goal-oriented. I know people talk about that a lot, but it definitely, for me, it is a huge part of who I am, you know, set goals and find a path to get there. Sometimes we wish that we were, or that we were doing certain things, or that we accomplished certain things, but we forget to look at all the little things that we need to do before. Just being that analytical, I think, has helped me a lot to become better in so many different aspects of being a professional player. I mean, I had no idea what it was going to take when I started, but I've learned quickly, you know, that you have to be on top of your nutrition, sleep, recovery, not just the training, but also your mentality. You know, sports psychology is huge for me. And I think those are things that I didn't really learn in college, because it is not, they're not preparing to be a professional player, but just being in school develops your mind to be able to, you know, find solutions to things. And that is always something that I'm trying to explain to some of my teammates as well, especially the young ones. Like, I always tell them, like, you have to find your own solutions. You can't leave anything to chance. Like, you have to be able to find small ways to get better. And that's what's going to make you a lot better. You know, the little things that you do is going to make you a lot better if you do them for a long period of time. So yeah, just being challenged in school. I honestly loved studying structural engineering. It's something that I'm really interested in, that I'm passionate about. Soccer is my number one love, so I can't put it aside quite yet, but definitely, I don't know, it just makes me part of who I am. You know, like I said, I'm very analytical. I like to research stuff. I like to find solutions, and just being at UCC also gave me the confidence to know that I can tackle anything that I pretty much set my mind to.
Do you feel like your analytical sort of mindset impacts you when you're on the field at all, in the way that you view the game of soccer?
Oh, yes. 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 Last year I finished my professional coaching license, and a lot of what we did there was, you know, out analyzing different teams, different style of plays. And I felt like I was back in school, just because I could do, you know, all the things that I used to do in research classes, like focus on the little details. And that's what I do in on the field too. I pay attention to as many things as I can and try to find it's funny to talk about it, because I don't know if it only makes sense in my mind, but the way I see it is always, you know, there's an action, and then what is it going to cause? What's going to be the reaction? You know, like if a player is here, what is their body language trying to tell me? What does the data show? You know, like I research a lot of the forwards on how they play. So how often do they do this compared to when they do this? You know, when do they do that? Like, how does their body look when they're about to do that compared to when they're about to do something else? all that kind of stuff. I think it's the way I see soccer. I think I can easily identify patterns of movement. So, you know, being able to connect players and how, you know, if this player moves over here, how is it going to affect the player that's all the way at the top of the field? You know, like all that stuff is stuff that I constantly think about. And as a goalie, I think it's very important to be analyzing the game as it goes on, because you have a lot of pause compared to the rest of the players on the field. And then you can transmit that information to the rest of the players whenever you get a chance. So that's kind of how I see it and how I see my role as well.
So earlier this year, COVID-19 obviously had a huge impact on the sports world, from college athletics to the professional level. So how were you and your team impacted by that?
Just as everyone, I think we had to take a second to pause. It's been I think everyone's gone through their own journey of figuring out how to deal with staying at home and staying fit and not knowing when or how long it was going to take for us to come back. I think now that we're getting closer to coming back, we can look back and say that we've all gotten something out of being at home for this long. And for our team, I think it was sad because we were going uphill. You know, we're in the middle of the season and we were getting better every game. And it was hard to accept the fact that, okay, we're going to stop now. We're going to have to start over again. But I always say that the best athletes are the ones that adapt the fastest. And so that was my mentality from the start, trying to figure out ways that I could get better that I usually don't have the time to do or to work on. And, you know, now we're starting a new process, getting ready to go back into preseason. And I mean, it's just things that are out of our control. And sometimes you do realize that there's bigger things than soccer.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you've met your goal already of being called up to the national team. What's next for you and what are some of your goals from this point on?
First of all, getting back into season and having good performances week after week, I think I've taken this opportunity of being at home for this long to get stronger physically and mentally. And I'm excited to see the results on the field. I'm definitely going to keep working to keep getting called back on the national team. There's a lot of important tournaments coming up in the next couple of years. And so it's going to be a long process and hopefully that I can be part of it. And like I said, playing at a high level in my club is also very important for me, trying to surprise myself, see how much better I can get. Every season I feel a lot more mature. So I'm also excited to see how much more I can grow, how much more I can learn about soccer, and hopefully, you know, keep opening up new doors too for the future.
Well, we're out of time for today. Thank you so much for joining us here on TritonCast, Itzel.
Thank you, guys.
I can only imagine what a thrill it must have been for Itzel Gonzalez walking out of that tunnel onto the pitch for the first time in one of those big stadiums, getting ready to represent her country on the soccer field. What an honor. And, you know, her conversation with you, Jenny, was fascinating. It struck me how much goes into it on her end in terms of being prepared beyond getting ready for the match itself. And what I'm talking about is the importance of nutrition and sports psychology and the video analysis work she does. There's so much that goes into it.
Right. It's incredible. There are so many different aspects that go into it, like you said. And I mean, with Itzel, it was interesting how she talked about how even her engineering background and her intellect and all that just contributes to what she does on the field.
No question. And that's not a correlation I would have made before hearing her explain it so eloquently. So Itzel, thank you so much for the time. We really enjoyed that conversation this week.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Itzel. That was an incredible conversation. Coming up next week on TritonCast, our exclusive conversation with brand new Big West Commissioner, Dan Butterly. We chat about his priorities for the conference, his experience in launching a conference television network, and actually the conference itself in his time of more than 20 years at the Mountain West, and what it was like to interview for the commissioner position and uproot his family during the COVID-19 pandemic.
You're not going to want to miss that conversation. As always, we thank you for listening to TritonCast. If you enjoyed the show, we ask that you subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on the platform of your choice. Remember, we're available each week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. You should follow us on Twitter at TritonCast for the latest show information. And if you got feedback, questions, comments, or suggestions for a future guest, shoot us a note. You can email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. For Jenny Stevens, I'm Jeff Turiel. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.